Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, I just saw this on my timeline from the Ross Tucker podcast. Apparently, the Shanahans, I'm telling you, man, this is a big game for Brock Purdy. I wasn't lying. You cannot have too many sneakers under the Shanahans. So let me tell you, I just saw this report, and it's still, RG3 hasn't played for Washington in over 13 years, all right? It's been a decade. But Ross Tucker podcast, former Washington head coach Mike Shanahan begged Dan Snyder to trade RG3 after being rookie of the year. Apparently, Shanahan's host, Snyder, I'm telling you, he's not as good as you think. Trade him before people find out.
Wow. I mean, it just never ends.
It never
with
ends
these guys.
With the Shanahan. What is their beef with RG3? Now you got to get RG3 to freaking respond to that. It is, I mean, come on, Mike. Let's just focus on Seattle. So that's why. The quarterback position.
Mike is not a part of the Niners.
Yeah, well.
Officially.
Officially. He's always in a suite right behind me. 227.
I would love for them to just give him a headset and let him just roam the field.
Well, I look at him. I always turn to him after offensive possessions.
Okay, what do you mean?
So he's in the suite. I'm in 227.
Okay.
He's in the suite to my right. And he's always by himself in the corner.
There's no one else.
Well, there's a lot. It's packed, but nobody sits by him.
Okay.
Like, even his wife. There's like two empty chairs, and then it's her. And, like, he's just in the corner.
Is
like
he
this.
In, a, like, Niner gear?
No, he's not even in Niner gear. He's just locked in.
Oh, he's in, like, Tommy
he's
Bahama.
In. He's like, yeah, I think he is in Tommy Bahama.
I know, because I know what he looks like. He's
the OGs.
He's a roster man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's just sitting there. And then sometimes during timeouts, he walks to the back.
Uh-huh.
He walks back to his seat. And I'm always thinking, I'm like, damn, I wonder if there's a landline in there.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a bat phone.
I wonder if he's texting
him. He's calling Commissioner Gordon right on down to the field. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm.
100%.
So, you know, he's tapped it.
Bonte, I've told you the story, right? About my dad texting me during games. I'm coaching. This is how parents are. Like, when you follow, my dad coached for his whole life.
Yeah.
And then I started coaching. And all of a sudden, this is like one of my first or second years coaching baseball, like 15 years ago. My phone's buzzing. This is like the early stages of text messages. And I'm looking, and it's like, this is a squeeze situation. You got a bunt. I'm like, what? I look out into center field, and there's my dad in a lawn chair out in center field telling me what we should be doing on the field.
I can't find the Tom.
And then like an inning goes by, the phone rings. I pick it up. I go, hello? And said, I told you should have bunted in that situation. Next time that presents itself, you got to send the runner. This is what dads do when you follow them into the profession. They hover over you. And you know what? I'd be listening to my dad too. Because I'd be lying if I didn't say I didn't think about it too.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Damn, but the Shanahan.
His dad is one of the greatest coaches
I know.
Ever.
I know. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He should be in the Hall of Fame. But that's why when it comes to quarterbacks and running backs, and any player for that matter, they will pivot. I'll never forget Shannon Sharp on First Take saying last year, patience and the Shanahans do not go together.
So what?
So, no, I don't care, but that's why I say that to say.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just don't let Brock Purdy have a few stinkers. That's all I'm saying. And I think he's going to bounce back tonight to have a great game. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, he has to.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
I don't think that they're good enough around him right now on both sides of the ball to overcome another sloppy game. They just can't. we always say this, you can't lose the turnover battle. No, this team cannot lose the turnover battle. They're not as explosive as they used to be, and they clearly don't get situational stops like they've had in years past. So, yeah, losing the turnover battle now is significantly better. Like back in the day when the Warriors were such a great team, we could turn it over 20 times a game. You know why? Because we're just going to outscore you. We're going to out-execute you. We're going to get enough stops in the final 5 minutes, and we're going to overcome whatever our flaws are. This team needs to play a much more buttoned-up brand of football. The Niners currently cannot lose turnover battles and think that they're going to be winning by two touchdowns. That's just not the case. The margin of error is too thin.
No, I'm with you on that one. Spot on with that one. They don't have that margin of error. They don't have the same explosion. I don't know what's going on with Deebo and the Yak, but they need the Yak boys to be Yak boys tonight. 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. I asked this question. Is this a win and we feel better game? Is this a win and we feel better about the 49ers long-term game? What does a win do for the Niner fan tonight? What does a win do for you? 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. How about David in the 615 on the Comcast Business Text Line? I want to blow up by the Niners. I'm tired of every game being a nail-biter. Niners make everything so hard. Hot day for you guys. How long does it take before we have the discussion of Nick Bosa being a good player but not a great player? Not a top five, but a top 30 regular season. Stats are empty for me, but I feel like if Nick Bosa would have lived up to his potential in the playoffs, Niners would have won a Super Bowl ring already. All right, that's not fair because 2019 he had a dominant postseason. He had a dominant postseason.
We keep coming back to the stars. God, it would be nice to have a Leonard Floyd game. Boy, it'd be nice to have the secondary pick a ball off or a cornerback like Yadam or somebody make a big play and just galvanize this team. I'm not saying you pay the premium players for a reason, but my goodness, can somebody else step up? Can someone else have a monster game?
No, we absolutely, but we always start with the top.
It's true.
We start with the top and they set the tone. So Bosa has to set a tone. Deebo has to set a tone. Kittle and Ayuk have to set a tone. Brock Purdy has to be sharp. He has to be sharper than last week. Got to get rid of the football. You can't throw in the tight windows. Not against this team that's looking for turnovers up there in the 12s. And that's the one thing, too. Another element of this game, the one thing the Niners have done well recently in Seattle is you take the crowd out of the football game.
It's true.
You cannot let this team get a lead and get that fan base involved because they're a front-running fan base. Let's be real. Seattle, I was up there. That's a front-running fan base, the Seattle Seahawks. They get down and behind, and they get quiet. They become uneasy. So that's who they are. So get a lead. Get a lead. I see Danny Green is retiring from the NBA. We don't need to break a new sounder for him. Shout out to Danny Green. Won a championship with three different teams. He also made the call for a flagrant foul in the 2019 finals, but I want to bring that up. I don't want to bring that up.
The worst part about these games in Seattle on primetime is the camera will do the front row pan of all the idiots wearing crazy, stupid costumes just to be seen. Green Man and all the different
stuff. You don't like the costumes?
What?
You don't like the costumes?
It just was never Seattle's thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was never their thing. Like, the Raiders always hung their hat on the costumes. I'm fine with them wearing the costumes, you know? The Dog Pound would wear the dog masks. Like, I'm cool with that. Like, the 12s thing just came out of left field. The whole thing was manicured, and it was not organic. I never saw anybody wearing any of that stuff during the Holmgren era. Did you?
Yeah. No, I didn't. They're a front-running fan base. That's what they are. That's why if you get out of the lead and take that crowd out of the game, they're going to be fine. That crowd is so soft. The Seahawk fan is soft. The Seahawk fan are front runners. When they get behind, they get doom and gloom. Forget, take them out of the game. You could take them out of the game early, but if you get them into the game, then all of a sudden they're pumping their freight crowd noise. They're raising the decibel level. All of a sudden, beast mode's on the sideline. Richard Sherman, what is he going to do today? Is he going to wear a split cap on the Amazon set? What is Sherman doing?
I don't know.
Like, is he a Niner fan this week or is he a Seahawk fan?
I don't know.
I can't tell with Richard Sherman. Let's go to Larry in the city. Larry, what's happening?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Larry?
Man, hey, everybody's just kind of relaxed, man. You know, dude, 10-7 is what we're going to – I said it before. I said at the beginning of the season we're going to be 10-7. The team struggle is because the team fell apart during the offseason, man. It's like Herm Edwards said, the disease of me got him. You know, everybody was all of a sudden, everybody was a superstar. Forgot how to play like a superstar. You know what I mean? So, hey, but I got to tell you guys something, man. All right. I tried to call in 2 weeks ago and say, hey, do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to get Saleh fired? I wake up yesterday and the boy was fired.
That's crazy.
Is what I would do. I would say Saleh, you come back, but you got to guarantee us 3 straight years. None of this BS. I had one good season at the D.C., and now I'm head coach of the Commanders or something stupid like that. Well, our biggest problem on defense is not the players. It's we change a coach every year. I mean, how do you get continuity? You got to get a feel for this stuff. You can't just, oh, well, I'm a linebackers coach today, and tomorrow I'm a D.C., you know?
I hear you, Larry. That's a conversation for another day. If Saleh gets a case, you can't tell a head coach not to take that job. They had D'Amico for 2 years. Yeah, Saleh, how many years was Saleh here? 3 years? Was it 3 or
17,
4?
18, 19, 20, 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
He left after 2020.
Yeah, and then D'Amico was here. Was he D coordinator for 2?
21, 22,
22,
23.
Yeah, so.
Or no, I guess last year. He was only here 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. Last but he was in the system. He came with Saleh. He was our linebacker coach for a long time. So he was within the system. So, you know, that's what happens in this business, man.
I believe he played for Kubiak in Houston, D'Amico.
He did, D'Amico,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, there's all this, you know.
Shanahan. And,
yeah, the Kubiaks
and the Shanahans.
Oh, boy, we lineage. Pumping the brakes on the Kubiak down in New Orleans.
Oh. Well, you know what? To be fair, players got to make plays.
I know.
Players got to make plays.
Spencer Rattler going to start.
Good luck against Tampa Bay.
Well, it's better than Jake Haner.
Yeah, I mean,
Jake Haner's.
Hey, shout out to Haner, KTVU.
Julie Haner.
Shout out to her, KTVU. But no, players got to make plays. Carr threw a dime, goes right through the guy's hands. Remember that fourth down? They blitz 8, Kansas City. He throws a dime. Player doesn't make a catch. Carr, early in the game, had a deep shot, wide open, underthrows it. He had Olave on a corner route, underthrows it. That's why we got to hold players accountable. Players got to make plays and execute, damn it.
So you were talking about, like, what happens if they win? What happens if they lose tonight?
I'm not thinking about that. I'm not putting that energy out there in the streets. We'll deal with that tomorrow. I already know what's going to happen if they lose, but I'm not speaking that into existence. I'm not even thinking about that. I'm thinking about going to get a dub.
I would love for them to win a game where they maybe weren't in complete control. Like the pendulum kind of swung back and forth. I think winning an adversity game would be really big for these guys right now. Winning a tight game would be really good. Like I do think that. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not scoffing at any kind of win. I will take whatever we can get. But there is something psychologically, like a swing back and forth game for them to win. I would love that. I really would. I would love that. They need a galvanizing win. They need to bring the troops together.
707, is Vontae calling out if they lose? I may have to. This one, I'm not even putting that out there because I can feel the energy. I can feel it. There's not 100% confidence in this studio right now. I was listening to Spadoni, and I'm not going to lie. He was killing my vibe this morning because he was keeping it real. He was keeping it real, but I said, I'm not thinking about a loss. I don't think like that. When I turn on that TV at 5:15 kickoff, I'm thinking, how are they going to win the damn game? What is Shanahan going to cook up against McDonald? He owes McDonald something for what happened on Christmas Day. Brock Purdy owes McDonald something for what happened on Christmas Day. Then we're going to get Nick Fan here at 8:30 from KJR up in Seattle, and he's going to come in here talking that talk. And it's going to tick me off even more. And it's Seattle, folks. These are the Seahawks. We can't stand Seattle. So I know what a loss would do for this. We don't even have to discuss it. I know what would happen with a loss.
Yeah, there was a TV show, a cartoon I used to watch after school with my brother. Tailspin. Oh, it would be a huge tailspin.
I can see the nerve. Now you get nervous. We get nervous.
What?
We get nervous, man.
In my head, I'm thinking like you know, it's just I already know. Like, it's if they lose this game, Niner fans are going to lose their minds. Lose their minds. Because you lose two games. I mean, basically, it's a two-game swing to Seattle in terms of the division. Right. You go 0-4 in the NFC, 0-3 in the NFC West. It is a big one. You cannot lose to Geno Smith and Seattle coming off the game they just had against the New York Giants. And that's the part that scares me. Had the Giants lost and didn't dominate them the way that they did, I'd feel a lot better. This has like, hey, get right game written all over it.
You know, your boy Rocco just texted us, and this is something that I've been harping on because there's been so much heat on Shanahan. The kiddie table's been fighting over comp- Capri Suns and orange juice and, oh, man, Shanahan, this
stop
is Shanahan,
knocking
that
the kitty
Shanahan.
Table.
No, the kitty table's a joke.
The kitty tables were all
they
the
go
good
two,
stuff
three,
is.
2-3, 2-3.
Dinosaur
and all of a sudden
shit,
they wanna,
chicken tenders.
We want to move on from the head coach after a 2-3 start after going to 4 NFC championships the last 5 years and 2 Super Bowls. But Rocco, your boy Rocco, private chat, totally agree. After all the talking and all-season stuff, I'm paraphrasing, it's time for the players to take the reins of the season and back up the talk. So I'm looking at you, Nick Bosa. I'm looking at you, Brandon Ayuk. I'm looking at you, Deebo Samuel. I'm looking at you, Big Trent Williams. All right? They got people in the studio calling him a diva. All right? Trent, I know you're not no diva. You're from East Texas, dog. So I'm looking at you. I'm looking at Juszczyk. I'm looking at Mason. I'm looking at all these guys saying, what are you going to do? The coach can't play for you anymore. He calls the plays. You got to execute. Kyle Shanahan didn't fumble last week. Kyle Shanahan didn't drop a football in SoFi Stadium to put your team in field goal position. Kyle Shanahan didn't miss a tackle and blow containment on the punt team.
If this comes down to a special teams kick or play, our heads were going to explode.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.